Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday afternoon, and this is Pause IM Radio. We're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today's program are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. We'll be taking your calls and speaking with our featured member of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to phone in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Pause IM Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining, and tonight I am joined by my new co-host, Josh from Orlando. Josh, how you doing, man?
How are you? I'm doing good on this Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, right? I figured everybody's probably watching the Super Bowl, so this will probably be one of those archived shows that people listen to. But other than that, usually Jeremy Dunn is with me, and he's a little under the weather still tonight, so he gave me his actually partner gave me an email this morning letting me know, and Josh, just wanted to thank you for jumping in and, you know, taking the seat, considering we start on Tuesday officially.
Yeah.
Well, I mean Wednesday. Wednesday officially, but, you know, it's good to get in and get warmed up, right?
Yeah.
So to speak. So our prayers and thoughts go out to Jeremy. Hopefully he'll be feeling better soon and be back to be here next week. But tonight we're going to touch a little bit on medical marijuana for people infected with HIV and AIDS and how it is useful for people. We're not commending and telling people to go out and smoke marijuana if you have HIV. We're just telling people that this is an option that's out there that may help you in certain aspects of dealing with side effects from your meds and stuff like that. So don't take it the wrong way. We're not trying to tell you to smoke marijuana, just that your options are open. You know what I mean? And if it's something that can help you, which in some aspects it does, it's not that bad of a thing. Have you ever, you know, looked at anything like this before, Josh?
Not until very recent. I didn't really know that there were, you know, positive effects to HIV, AIDS, you know.
That's pretty cool. We'll kind of break it down for people who maybe may not understand what exactly marijuana is. You may know it on the street as pot, herb, Mary Jane, you know, different names like that. You'll hear from it. It's basically smoked, and some people eat it and put it in brownies and stuff like that. You've probably all heard of that before.
I love
a lot of stuff is it's actually hemp. A lot of things, you know, people buy are made out of hemp, so, you know, that's a form of marijuana, which is kind of interesting. It's, you know, a legal use of it, I guess. And basically, marijuana was used medically in the U.S. until the late 1930s. Then there were claims of reefer madness, is exactly what they call it, reefer madness. Supposedly, marijuana caused crime, violence, insanity, and death. In 1970, the U.S. drug law classified marijuana as having a high potential for abuse and no medical use. So in 1970 is when they, you know, made it illegal to smoke marijuana. But before that, it was used for medical purposes, and it wasn't actually legal. This is something that I kind of debate with. Because I was somebody who, you know, used to smoke a lot of pot, so I was a pothead at one point in my life, and I don't know. To me, you know, I can fight the side where you don't see people, you know, under the influence of marijuana killing people, you know, and things like that. It's always things that are heavier, like alcohol. I think more people die from alcohol and DUIs and accidents on the road than they do, you know, smoking pot, but, you know what I mean? That's just my opinion on the whole situation, but I'm, you know, a former burnout, so I can say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a point, you know, if we're getting personal, I mean, you know. So to me, I can see the good inside, the good side effects and the bad. And how they break it down for you is everybody knows marijuana is used in HIV patients. They get it. It's called Marinol. And it's actually a liquid form of it that they get. And
yeah,
they
just say learned that today.
What'd you say?
I just learned about that today.
Yeah. How they put it in, you know, all different things to take. And they say it's not the same. Some people don't get the same side effect as actually inhaling the smoke, is what they're saying. They're saying actually you don't even have to be smoking
high,
it, just being in the room, you know, get the contact high off of it, and it helps with your nausea, you know, from different side effects. Because a lot of pills that you take, they have side effects that mess with your stomach and your butt, and, you know, they give you diarrhea, and things like this will affect your nausea and things like that. So they suggest that you do that. And the other thing that it does for people with AIDS is it actually eases the pain. And that's, I thought, was kind of interesting, because it does kind of ease the pain. But for me, it did it in a mental way. You know what I mean? It pushed it all down. But it also, you know, does regular pain, which I thought was kind of interesting. They actually have not, they never clearly linked it to lung cancer, which I thought, I didn't learn that until actually today when I was really looking at it, Josh, that it was never actually cleared and like linked to committing. You know.
I've noticed that it's still, they don't know anything really.
Yeah, they
just,
kinda...
it just seems, what I've read, it seems as if it only talks about the obvious side effects. I didn't even have to become a scientist to know what the side effects of smoking marijuana does. And
right.
It's obvious to me, you know, if you're in pain, you know, you get high, the pain goes away. But it's only temporary, you know, side effect. So to me, I mean, I've never done any drugs or anything like that. Well, illegal drugs, I guess. Just ones prescribed to me. But to me, it seems like a waste. You know, you just get this instant high, and yeah, you'll feel better, but then a couple hours later, the pain comes back. But I've never been a person that did even, I don't even like to take aspirin, so. But I mean, I've seen some stuff like on glaucoma, you know, that's correct, right? The eye, whatever. And how it helps with that. But other stuff that I've seen, it just seems as if it's a temporary kind of way to get through something, and then unfortunately it's going to come back.
Right. Well, the one thing that it does do is, like I said, it gets rid of the nausea, but it also kind of gives you an appetite, which, you know, if you're somebody
that
smokes pot.
Yeah, I see that, how that aspect of it does help. I didn't, you know, think of it like, oh, okay, yeah, you get the munchies. And if you are not eating, that's a good way to, well, I would say good way, but it is a way of gaining an appetite. But I've never had a problem eating, so.
Right. Well, a lot of it, a lot of what they do is now is they actually bake it in like brownies and stuff like that and give it to patients, because it's better to eat it. You know what I mean? Because I guess it's a safer way of doing it than smoking it. You know what I mean? It's actually putting it in the brownies and stuff like that and baking with it.
Why brownies?
There used to be a lady I watched this documentary on TV, and she was the brownie lady, and she used to like bake all these brownies with pot in it. And she would actually, like, you know, like, mail them to people who were having illnesses and go to the hospitals, I believe. And she ended up, I think, having all these, you know, the cops were coming after her for stuff like that. And but she was doing it out of the goodness. It was so funny because it was, like, this 70-year-old lady who was, like, kind of, like, she looked like a hippie, you know what I mean? And she was, like, probably a Woodstock when it was all, you know, it was all good and dandy. But she was actually doing good with it.
She perfected her recipe.
Yeah. Thought it was kind of interesting.
But I've always been curious, why brownies? Is it just something that somebody came up with and it stuck?
No, because you know what?
Like, you put it in cookies?
People also put them in cookies, too.
Okay.
Because they make it, I mean, I've had them in brownies before, but to me, I don't know. It's just,
I was
like,
paranoid.
It's an easier way to taking it.
I remember as a child, looking back, I remember as a child, my father always told me not to eat brownies, not to take any brownies from anybody else. And, you know, it's probably one of those things. I went to public school, and my public school that I went to was very divided. You know, there were, you know, people with no money, and then people, you know, middle class or high class people. So it was, you kind of see a really definite line as to the crowds. And I remember he always told me, never eat from somebody else's lunch and never eat anybody's brownies. And that always stuck to my head until high school. And I was, now I know why.
That's kind of funny. But,
I remember some questionable kids back in middle school.
Yeah, well, when I was in high school, I was a pothead in high school. I mean, that's just, you know, that's where I fell in my trying to discover myself. You know, I wasn't like super cool, but I was like a jock. So I kind of fell in with the wrong crowd trying to discover who I was. So, I mean, you just travel down a path. It happens.
Craziness. But I also read how the medical marijuana, they did find negative effects as to, obviously you have like short-term memory loss, and they say that that's the most sensitive part of the brain, and if that is affecting that part of your brain, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So what I've been reading a lot that all these sites have, it just talks about mainly that they don't know that much about it yet because there hasn't been an extensive research or a long-term research, so they don't know what the long-term effects are for, you know, marijuana usage. So
a lot of time, I think I read something about that it's harder to get it to study through the government because they're so strict about who they give it to.
Right.
You know what I mean? I saw that they did another research study, and I just want to put this out there because I know we're talking about using it for people with HIV, but they did a research study that found that smoking marijuana does not increase your HIV viral load, or does it reduce your CD4 cell count.
Right.
So that's important for people to understand that, you know what I mean?
It's just what it's for is these actual side effects that it makes you want to eat. And
what it is that's in the marijuana is what they call is THC, which is what, you know, the Marinol that we were talking about is before. It's just the synthetic version of the THC. That's the substance that makes you high and or groggy. Or you know, some people actually really get paranoid. So,
but when they take the pill, do they still get high?
They still do get the side effects where the nausea and all that, but it's not like smoking it. You don't get that like high off it. You know what I mean? Where like an addict will go for that high, where you know the Marinol goes.
But you just get the side effects, but you don't get high.
Right. They say people who've taken it say it's not the same as actually.
Well, I'm sure it's not the same because you don't get the high factor, but you do get the other side effects.
Right. But then just when they use, but they also said that when they use it on the Marinol, that they don't get the same results as, you know, the smoke. So thought that was kind of interesting that you could take it in a liquid way and not get the same results as taking it as smoking. But hey, for me, I'm up for anything that's new, and if it's going to try to, you know, help me fight off this disease, I'm willing to try anything when it comes to that. You know what I mean? Like, we're fighting for our lives. Why should I be closed-minded and not think of, you know, maybe taking some of this herb will help me do this? You know, whether it be marijuana or have it be some other Chinese herb, I'm like very open to things like that and experimental because it's my life, and you know, we have a choice. So I feel like I don't have to be cookie cutter. But Tom's in here. I want to also say hi to everyone in the chat room, Tom, for joining us, and Anthony.
Hi, Tom and Anthony.
Yeah, that's kind of cool that they tuned in, and I hope the Super Bowl commercials are worth it. Yeah, that's the only reason I watch it. It is, unless the Eagles are in it. You know what I mean? And even if the Eagles are in it, I'm really not watching it for the Eagles. I'm just kind of rooting for them because they're their home team. But Pittsburgh's a Pennsylvania team, so maybe, you know, they can bring it home for the state, I guess, right? Kind of who I have to vote for since they're the neighboring team.
Right. Well,
you watch football?
I do. I enjoy it. I'm more of a college football fan. I grew up watching college football, Florida State, Woohoo! Yeah, I get into NFL as well. Football is probably the only sport that I really got into. I love to play baseball. That's pretty much my sport. I cannot watch it on TV. I could go to the ballpark or play it, but I can't watch. It's one of those things that I cannot watch on TV.
Yeah, I hear you.
Part of that sport is the experience, you know, where you're at.
All right, that's
basketball's a bore for me.
Yeah, it is. I used to like basketball when I was younger, but not so much. What was I going to say? Tom says, "Oh, Rob, I meant to tell you last week, news about your town jumped 3 slots in the most popular gay travel destination from 16th to 13th. Woohoo, go Philly." Right? That's kind of close. That's kind of cool, I guess, that we're moving up in the...
almost top 10.
At least there. I wonder where Orlando's at. They're probably up there high.
I would disagree. But
let's see. Also,
it probably is because of, you know,
because
the Parliament House, world renowned apparently.
Yeah.
But
I wanted to also let people know out there who's listening to this that Paz AM radio show will now be coming 2 days a week. I'm sorry. Josh and I will be doing it on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And hopefully Jeremy will be back with us next week on Sundays at 9 p.m., which was our original time. So now we're here twice a week, which is kind of cool.
Double the
fun.
Call
and ask questions. If anyone out there in the chat room wants to call in and have a little chat, please feel free to call in at 347-215-9442. I'm actually in the process of making a new intro for the radio show so I can make it flow with both, which will be kind of interesting. Some things going on the site. We have a new member of the month since February is the new, you know, beginning of a new month. And we actually chose Jeremy. So hopefully Jeremy will be able to come on so we could do at least an interview with him, Josh. I figured I could have him. I know he can't call in on Tuesdays at 2, but I figured at least on maybe a Sunday night I could have you jump in and co-host with me and we can interview him together.
Have a three-way.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then I'm waiting for his interview that I emailed him to get back so I could post that on the site. But I just thought that was interesting. I wanted to pick Jeremy because he's inspired me since I've met him, and I just felt like right now he could use some acknowledgement.
Yes. No. Congratulations.
Yay,
Jeremy.
Woo! Don't have any sound effects.
And I have my
Yeah, call in. You don't have to talk about medical marijuana. You can talk about whatever you want. I don't give a crap. Do you watch Oprah?
I do not.
They had this. And the reason I'm asking is they had this evangelicus. Is that what they call him?
Evangelical.
Yeah, whatever he is.
Yeah.
He was one of those speakers, Ted Haggard or something.
Okay.
And he was, a big time preacher there in the thing, and he ended up coming out having a relationship with an escort, a male escort, and and all this shit, and he was preaching the opposite and how homosexuality was a sin and would go to hell, and it was just kind of interesting how he got caught in his own crap what he was preaching. I thought it was interesting actually had him on. It was like his first interview. And, he was admitting everything and how the church actually kicked him out and forced him to move out of the state and to never, ever preach again. Out of the state from where he was from, which I want to say maybe Oregon, Utah. And from then, they had to move out of the state and never preach again.
That's serious.
And then later on, they found out that he was also sleeping with a volunteer at the church, which some acknowledged.
Huh.
But he kind of came out, him and his wife, and I thought it was kind of like, I was like, oh, well, let's see what his story's all about. And I love it how he goes, I have these homosexual thoughts, but I'm not gay. They're just thoughts. And I'm like, you don't just have thoughts and not, you know what I mean? So he put, like, I'm straight, but I have issues, is how he put it.
Got it.
Yeah, you got an issue. You're gay and you think you're straight.
Well, maybe he can pray it out or something.
Right.
But
and
he was with an escort, so
yeah.
If they're not thoughts anymore.
And the escort brought it, you know, to the surface when he found out
who
he was. Because he had no idea who he was.
Hmm.
And then when he saw on the news who he was like, wait a minute, I have to, you know, come clean with it. But whatever, it was just something that I saw, so I thought I would talk about it. Actually, I was sitting here looking at Paz Magazine yesterday, and I noticed this one. Turn the light on. I noticed this one article in here. It had a little poll in it, and it said, in October, they asked, you know, do you think that the new American president, which is Obama, will effectively address HIV and AIDS issues during the first 100 days? What do you think?
I came across an article on a website. I don't know what he's going to do, honestly. I think there are a lot of things going on right now. And I didn't really follow Obama too much, so I'm not sure what his priorities are.
Why, where were you, who are you voting for? Or who are you following?
Shoot me. I voted for McCain. So I was more, I grew up conservative. I have more conservative views. And,
right.
But I wasn't 100% McCain or 100% Obama. But I was just more persuaded by McCain than Obama. And I don't know what his views are on the whole HIV thing, but I did come across an article, I forget what website it was, I just stumbled upon it, saying what they feel like he needs to do to change things around for the better.
Well, I think that he just tried to pass that big stimulus package that they're talking about, and in there was, I think it was $335 million that he was giving to STD prevention, which, you know, hopefully majority of that would be, you know, HIV and AIDS, but I just thought that was an awful, you know, big start for him to go in there and automatically one of the first things he wants to do is, you know, educate the young people about STDs and stuff like that. The one that I actually found out right before, you know, Election Day is that him and his wife, I don't know the right country, but I want to say maybe Kenya. They were in Kenya and they tested for HIV publicly there. You know what I mean? Like they took the test on cameras and revealed everything right there, which I thought was like really cool for somebody to do, because that's not something that everybody will go out and just do publicly.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot of people are afraid to even go to the doctors and ask to take the test, let alone actually do it publicly. So, like, I thought that was, like, my hat's off, because that was kind of cool to see somebody do and be like, I don't give, you know, a crap what you think. I'm going to do this and show you that it's important to do this. But he actually has a lot of good views for, you know, HIV and AIDS and STD prevention. But back to the question that I asked, so this is what has happened, because this was in October before he did the package. So $335 million is what he's trying to pass. Hopefully it'll pass. I think it has to go to another section of either the House or the Senate or somewhere to get voted on. But 67% of the people said that they did not think that he was going to do it within the first 100 days. 19% said yes, he would, and 14% said they didn't know, which I thought, you know, 67%, you can look at it two different ways. One, that's a lot of people who don't have a lot of faith in him, but then it's only the first 100 days. You know, how much
right.
can he really get done?
I
guess he kind of proved it wrong.
Everyone could always criticize a president, and my thing is I know that there are probably a billion other things that are going on his desk than what I could probably imagine. So, and to me, 100 days doesn't seem like a lot. you know, no. when you think of a four-year term. So I would have probably thought, you know, that he probably wouldn't have done something.
You know, I probably would have thought he wouldn't have done it so quickly.
But I could be a selfish person, but I wouldn't think that, you know, HIV, you know, AIDS would be such an issue that's, you know, front on his mind. I think I would have thought that there are other things that could possibly be on his plate.
Be more important.
On his mind first, right. So, I don't know, or maybe it comes in a big, you know, a checklist, and they're like, okay, what do you feel? Yes, no, just check. I don't know. I don't know what they do up there.
Yeah, I think he was also donating or trying to get money for government employees to get cars and stuff like that. And to me, I think that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Just because you work for the government, I don't think you should automatically get a government car. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I have to drive my car to work every day. You know, you have to drive your car to work every day. Why can't you get your own car?
Right. You're getting a paycheck.
Yeah, right. You're getting a paycheck, and it's probably a pretty big one. So let's see. So again, we are here again on Wednesday at 2:00. And actually, we're going to speak about what exactly the Pos AM community is, and you know, I think it'll be kind of cool to open it up and explain to everybody what it is for people who are listening maybe for the first time. The Pos AM community is a social networking site for people infected and affected by HIV and AIDS. And it's kind of just like, you know, a MySpace or Facebook, maybe a little simpler. And it's for people, you know, to connect and just relate. You know, it's kind of Josh joined and, you know, and now he's co-hosting the show, which is kind of pretty cool, I think.
It is. It's like all fast forward, you know.
Yeah, right.
joined it, what, I believe it was December or late November, then member of the month and now co-host.
Right.
This is kind of
cool.
The world.
I like when people want to step up and do things, because I would love to actually, I mean, it's crazy and I don't know how I would be able to do it, but I would love to have this be, you know, 7 days a week, and, you know, 2:00 every day during the week and, you know, 2 nights on the weekends, you know, or do like a Friday, Saturday and Sunday night at night and have all different co-hosts and like rotate co-hosts throughout. And I think it would be kind of cool to have different people interact more.
That would be cool.
You know what I mean? I think it would be kind of cool. So if anyone's out there interested, you could just let me know and I could try to set it up. But I think it would be, you know, cool. I like getting people involved in it. It makes them feel like a part of something. And that's the whole point. The whole point of this.
Yes. That's great. I've, you know, started talking to a lot of people and getting ideas, sharing ideas, and kind of fueling the fire of, you know, I could do something and not, you know, necessarily think about what I have anymore. It's more about being, you know, connecting with people that are in the same situation and knowing that if you're going through something, there's somebody there that you're going through and it's easy to talk to. It's not somebody that is trying to understand and trying to wrap their mind about what you're going through. You know, you're talking to somebody that's already been there or is going through the same thing at the same
right.
time. And what's great is that there's so many, there's people of all ages, all, you know, walks of life, all over the country and
all over the world.
All over the world. I'm sorry. And
yeah, right.
It's great.
From all over.
So it's, you know, you can find somebody that is in the same boat with you.
Yeah, I had somebody who, see, my favorite part is I like greeting people when they first join, and I know you're one of the greeters, and, you know, some other people like Terry and Linda, and it's just, to me, it's just, I get so much out of it, because then they like, oh, thank you for the warm welcome, you know, I never experienced this before. You know, a lot of people say that to me, that they're not used to getting comments when they join sites, like MySpace, Like, you know, people, my aunt joined, and she's like, I have more friends on your site than I do on my feed.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really cool that people, you know, gravitate to welcome all the new people. And I just like meeting them all, because when you first meet them and you're logged in the chat and they first discover it and they start talking, you know what I mean? That's when they first start opening up and they're like, I don't think I can find anybody who's like me. And this one guy joined from Canada not too long ago, I think 2 weeks ago, and we were talking, and he's like, I never – you know, met anybody who has HIV and who is gay and who is, you know, I used to be married, I have kids, and I was like, there's other people on this site who are just like you. You know what I mean? Like, look for it. Like, they're right here. And I tell them, introduce yourself. That's the best thing, because once you do that, people will leave comments for you and get to know you better. And I noticed that somebody just did that the other day and introduced himself and put his story in there, and that's how you learn about each other. I mean, that's where I get the most out of it, is welcoming everyone.
Yeah, it is nice. You welcome them, and they appreciate that warm welcome. So it's always nice. Nice to be thanked.
Another thing that I came across, which I thought was interesting, was that a research study they did suggests that starting treatment with a higher CD4 count is better.
I saw that too.
Based on evidence of increased health problems among positive people with relatively high CD4s who are not yet on HIV meds, the U.S. treatment guideline raised the recommended starting point of drug therapy from 200 CD4s to 350 CD4s about a year ago. The researchers at the, we're going to call it the ICAAC, last August suggested that their starting point start at 500 CD4s. So technically, I think last counts I did, I was around 450 CD4s. And my doc was telling me that he thought maybe it was a good time I would start thinking about, you know, going on meds again because of the last reaction I had. And he goes, I know you're hesitant. And I am a little hesitant about going on them right away because of my last reaction. Now, you
right.
Went on them, and you haven't gone off them yet, right?
Yep. I actually have my next appointment tomorrow morning. I have to fast, which is not fun. But it's an early appointment, so I don't have to worry about it. Anyways, I've been on it for almost 2 years. I started – my counts were – I started around a little above 350, and I wasn't qualified – per se, for the study. The only reason why they entered me in, because my partner at the time, his count was double digits. And they just thought it was a good buddy system, so they just overlooked it. And now last time I was at 998. So in the research study, I've had the biggest increase. I know I just was contacted by him, my ex, a few days ago, and his numbers kind of stayed on the lower, you know, range. It hasn't increased as much as I did. But my last visit was my biggest jump, and they were actually telling me about how there was another study saying that people that have a higher CD4 count, that they, when they start earlier, their numbers increase a lot more. So they were actually kind of glad that I was in the study as well, because I'm that extra variable that they have amongst the other people in the study. So looking forward to see what the numbers are for tomorrow.
But, okay, luck with that.
Yeah.
Now, how has your side effects been?
None.
The
only time I would have any side effect were, like I said during my interview a few weeks ago, were just when I took the medicine without any food. And then that's the only time I felt nauseated, was because they're powerful, you know, drugs, and your body is taking these drugs and it's kind of being overworked, and it needs energy to kind of back it up. And that's the only time I ever felt sick. So I've gotten a lot better making sure I take it with food. And I've never had a problem with it since.
Right. Well, you know, like we say here.
So I've been lucky for sure. Because I know
a lot
of people have.
Like we say, it's all individual. And, you know, some people, you know, may take meds and not get side effects, and God bless them, right? Like people like you, and then some people like me may not have to go on meds, you know, for a while, and then there's some people who will take them and side effects are instant, you know, the dreams, the nausea and stuff like that. And that's, you know, one of the reasons to swing it back to the topic is why people may use medical marijuana to ease, you know, the sleeping, the nausea, the not being able to eat, you know, before you take your medicine, like you were saying. So, I mean, I believe that you should be able to choose to have this, and they should be able to prescribe it to you, just like they do any, you know, anything that could make you feel better and help you out, whether it's a pain pill or not. I think it's something that you should be able to, you know, get from your doctor. And if I was reading correctly, let me just go to the right page. Tom actually posted some stuff in here, and there are a few states that actually – allow you to, let me get to the spot, here it is. Several states already have legal medical marijuana laws. Washington State, California, and Colorado are ones that he knows of, and possibly Oregon. And to me, it's something that should be voted on, you know, just like anything that we have discussions with, and it should be at least tested on. You know, you should do more tests before you just say, no, you can't do it, or allow one state to do it. To me, it's not fair. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have to move to California because, you know, I might need to use medical marijuana one day. I think it's a little ridiculous. You shouldn't be able to do it in one spot and not all over.
Yeah.
And if you're out there listening and want to call in the chat room, it's 347-215-9442. Call in and chat with me and Josh. Let's see, we've got about 20 minutes, so I know I want to play a song at the end of the show, before we head out.
Music.
Uh-huh.
Music.
Yeah, well, I did it last show, and it kind of helps, you know, chill out.
To end the show.
It's a good way to end the show. Let's see.
So what else is going on? What's going on with you?
With me, basically, it's normal, actually. I just went in, as some people know on the site, I actually, from using drugs before, by using, like, cocaine and meth, I actually ruined my mouth. And having HIV, you know, attacks your mouth, too. So doing both of that, it, like, rotted my teeth out to where I actually had about, but put it this way, I have about 12 teeth in my mouth now. All my back teeth are all gone, and I actually have to go and get implants put in. And until I can afford to get implants, which are about $2,000 a tooth, I have to get this, like, denture clip that'll connect to my teeth, and it'll be all my back teeth, so I have teeth again. You know, and I'm so used to not having the teeth that when I put them in, and I went in for a test the other day to see how they fit in my mouth before they actually mold it, and it was just not fun. You know what I mean? Like, my mom always told me, save your teeth. Your teeth are so important. Save nothing like your own teeth. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, whatever, whatever. And now I understand.
Wow.
So I was going in to get that taken care of, which I did last week, which was good, because eventually, you know, if I want to go on TV or do some sort of crazy reality show that I have plans to do, I need to get things done. You know, you can't go on some reality show, because I want to go on Big Brother. That's my big thing. I want to go on Big Brother and just, you know, show people that you can live with people with HIV and not be afraid. A lot of people are afraid of it, so
right.
I like to, you know.
I've always wanted to do that show.
Yeah, and I want to show people that, like, because I know that they would put me in there and have somebody who would have an issue with it.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Because that's just the way they do those shows. They make it so it's controversial. And I would love to go in there and just be able to show people that stigma still exists, and that, you know, if you meet somebody who has it, you're more than likely to accept it. So I kind of want to, like, try to be the new face, you know. But that's in time. I sent in an audition video to them 1 year, and I never heard anything back from them.
Well, they're silly.
But there's people who tried for, like, 4 years, 5 years to get on that show.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, season 11, they finally made it on after 8 times. But, hey, I just think it's kind of original, and I wonder if anybody else has ever done it.
That would be cool. I have friends that always say that I should do Survivor. But every aspect of Survivor, I'm gung-ho for. The one thing is, I'm probably one of the world's pickiest eaters. I would sit there and just eat rice, and that's it. I don't eat fish. I can't eat coconut. I'm allergic to that. I would be the one eating termites just to have protein and probably with their way to nothing. I'd probably vote myself out.
That's funny because somebody who, when we had the feature blogger before the member of the month, did a blog on, do you remember the guy who won, you watch every Survivor? Most of them?
No. Not all of them.
Okay, well, there was this one survivor where it was, like, within the last three. And it was, I don't remember his name, and I feel bad, but all I know is that he was a gay guy who won.
I remember the first survivor that won was
no,
gay.
No, no. I'm talking, like, within the last three survivors.
Yeah,
well, he won. He was a younger guy, and he won, and which was kind of cool. He was, like, the whole puppeteer. And he did this big campaign, I think, if I remember correctly, something where he was trying to advise people who had HIV to apply for this show to try to bring awareness to it, which I thought was kind of cool how he turned it around and made it into, like, an awareness thing where people, but there was, like, this big casting call where they were pushing people who had HIV to try out for the show. But like you said, I'm a picky eater. I mean, I can eat whatever. But I cannot take being bitten. And you see how they come back with those bites all down their mark? Oh, no.
Yeah.
That would be the worst. But
yeah,
I think it would be really cool.
I would love to do it because I like the outdoors and all that stuff. I grew up, you know, in the Orlando outdoors, I guess. I've done some road trips. And that all that part always fascinated me. And then the whole, like, mind game and the actual physical games as well, just, it makes me go crazy. And I would love to do it. And it's funny how the gay people usually get pretty far. They know how to,
know how to play games.
Well, it's more of, we're brought up in a straight society, and we're forced to kind of suppress ourselves and kind of keep under the radar, but still be in the mix of it all. So I've noticed through observation how they kind of just, they infiltrate, and then at one point then they just kind of come out, so to speak, and then they take over and win. So they just know how to.
I don't know if I remember them getting that far in Big Brother. Because I remember
Big Brother.
I remember
no,
Marcellus.
They don't, because they're the ones that they cast on Big Brother are catty, and they make it probably to the last five. They're probably, I think the last one that I've seen go far was, I think, the two Big Brothers ago with the couples.
Yeah, do you remember when they had the two gay guys, Dustin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of was hoping he was going to win.
No, his name was Joshua.
No, okay, yes, I remember him. But before that, when they did another couple.
With his pair.
Mm-hmm. But I remember Joshua, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, he was cool, but then at the end, he completely went psycho. And I always just hit myself on the head because, you know, he just kind of ruined it. It's like always gay guys go bad type of thing. They can never.
And it's always, they always, I mean, I mean, granted, they get on the show because they have that personality that they want in the
right.
house. But I think they should try to look for different kind of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, not every, you know, you keep putting people who act like that. Not that there's anything wrong with the way that they acted, because they can act whatever way they want, and I don't give a crap.
Right.
But if you're going to, you know, not every gay person is going to be, you know, so flamboyant or so over the top.
Right.
But not all of them were. You know, I don't remember Dustin being so over the top. He had his moments, but we all have our moments.
Right.
We all, you know, the one show we were watching last night.
That's what I call our flare-ups.
Yeah, we all have our moments. but do you, did you ever watch Solitary?
No.
Solitary is one they have on reality, the Reality Channel. Which we have DirecTV. I don't know if it's everywhere, but it's really cool where they put them in this, like, pod that's, like, so small, this little room, and they have to do all these challenges, and they only talk to themselves and the computer.
Nice.
And, you know, you're confined in this little room, and you got to do all these horrible, horrible things to stay in the game and not give up. And it's mind-twisting, and it's sick, and it's physical and mental, and we were watching it last night, and there's no way I could do that. I have that thing they call, what is it? I can't be in confined areas.
Claustrophobic.
Yeah. I'm afraid.
I could probably do that part. I think
for 30 days?
Yeah.
You don't get to sleep,
but
up for hours.
I could be in a small space. I can't be separated from somebody else though. I'd go crazy. I need someone to interact with or pick on and get that reaction out of people. I can't talk to a computer, I don't think.
Yeah, it's very stressful.
You would have to... See, what drives me crazy is that these 95% of the people that go on these reality shows go in without even mentally preparing themselves what they're getting into. They just think, oh, I'm just going to walk in this house and cameras are going to follow me around. No, you idiot. You have, like, a mission. There's a reason why you're there. You kind of have... And you have to... think of all the aspects, all the elements that are involved and how they're going to take a toll on you personally. And usually the people that are completely oblivious to everything are the first ones to go.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to participate in a show where I'm going to be confined in a small space, I will kind of take, you know, a few hours of my day and just sit in silence and, I don't know, sit in a cardboard box or something. I don't know. But you have to kind of prepare yourself for stuff like that. I don't know. That's what I would do.
One of the reasons that they wouldn't put me on there. See, I think the good points about somebody like me going on there is, one, I'm not on any kind of medication that you have to put me on and make sure that I take while I'm in the house. You know what I mean? So that's a bonus. You don't have to worry about me physically. You know what I mean? I'm not going to fall apart in there. You know what I mean? Because I have, you know...
But you're allowed to take medicine in there.
Yeah, but I mean, but I could see, like something happening and them having a reaction to their medication. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
right.
Where I won't have that situation in there, which is, you know, I always try to, when in my video, I try to make it a benefit of me going in there, is that you don't have to worry about all that stuff. You know what I mean? And I'm used to being rejected, so if people reject me, I'm fine.
I'm better off without you anyways.
Yeah, right?
You're too good for TV, Robert.
Yeah, right. One day I'll be on there. Everyone will be like, that's him.
Yeah. We should make our own reality show.
Yeah, could you imagine?
That would be funny.
See, I think it would be cool if they did something like Big Brother and did it where everybody, whoever won, was doing it, you know what I mean, to benefit a cause. You know what I mean? Where, like, I would go on, and if I won the money, I would use the money to invest in, you know, the positive community or something with HIV or AIDS, some organization. You know what I mean? And then somebody with, you know, with the breast cancer, and then all these different... I think that would be kind of interesting to have people not fight to win money for themselves, but actually to fight to win money for the cause.
Like The Apprentice, like Celebrity Apprentice.
Right. Exactly. I haven't seen that show in a while. I kind of miss it.
I heard they're doing a Celebrity Apprentice that's coming up. Tom Green is in it. There's a bunch of people in it. like they always choose odd characters. Oh, Joan Crawford and her daughter.
They're going to be the Celebrity Apprentice. Her daughter.
They're going to be on. Both of them are going to be on there.
That's funny.
They have a crazy cast.
Mommy dearest.
Oh, not Joan Crawford. Why did I say Joan Crawford? I meant, what's that old lady?
Joan Rivers?
Joan Rivers. Joan Crawford. Lord.
You got me all excited. I thought it was Joan Crawford.
No. Back from the Dead.
Yeah, right?
No, Rivers and her daughter. Sorry.
Melissa, yeah. They're always on those reality shows.
Andrew Dice Clay. You heard of him?
Yeah, I heard of him.
That's going to be crazy. I would watch it just because of him. Because he would probably rip Rivers a new river. He's pretty raunchy, so.
The one thing I wanted to bring up here before I put that song on is it was weird. I was on Facebook the other day, and you know, I'm friends with some people on there, and I got this message from this guy Jake, and the name looked familiar, and I'm never sure where exactly I meet people with running the site and you know doing things like that. So he's like, you know, I think I sent him an email because I know he works for like some sort of an organization in Philadelphia, some AIDS organization. So I wanted to get more involved, and I asked him like, what could I do to get more involved, and then he pointed me to Action AIDS, and he said that there's a buddy system that they have there. Well, here I thought he was somebody else, and then he corrected me and told me that he was actually the guy who walked behind me the very first AIDS walk 2 years ago, and sent me an email telling me that my marketing worked, which had my website on the back of my shirt. And he corrected me, he's like, and that's when I friended you on here about, you know, a year and a half ago. Which I thought was kind of cool that, you know, he happened to be the guy that I just emailed out of random. And he was telling me about this buddy system, which is cool. And he said what you do is you pair up with somebody. And, you know, you call each other. And I guess it's, you know, just like a normal buddy system that you may use to quit smoking, which, by the way, hasn't stopped. I haven't stopped yet.
Huh?
I'm still trying to quit.
You trying or you just – it's that afterthought?
I'm trying, but it's just – everything's so stressful.
You know, well, you have to find
going on.
Chew gum.
Yeah, right. Chew gum. It's not the same.
my roommate, I don't know how he's doing. I haven't seen him in a few days, but he was quitting smoking because he had a crush on some guy that was completely disgusted by smoking, and he didn't know that he smoked. So he was going to quit. You know, not specifically just for him, but he just realized the negative effects of it, and he had already quit. The last time I saw him, he had quit for 4 days already, and he was sitting in the living room just going crazy. He was just doing some crazy stuff in the living room, and I walked in on him, and I walked in, and I was like, are you okay? He's like, I'm going crazy. I need a cigarette. But,
well, I was actually talking to one of the guys who is a member of the site here on Paz IM, and he was telling me that he has to quit smoking because it has ruined the nerves in his feet. And if he wants to continue to walk, he has to quit smoking because I guess of the neuropathy of the nerves and stuff. Somehow the smoking has ruined the nerves, and the doctor's like, if you want to walk for the rest of your life, you have to quit smoking. And he can't take, like, you know, the pill or the gum or the patch because it's still putting the nicotine, which I guess is causing the issue, with his feet. So it's kind of scary. I didn't know it could get that bad. I really need to quit.
Yes. You don't want a hole in your throat either.
No.
Then they'll probably put you on TV.
That's funny, so. Let's see, before we head out here, because I'm going to play this song, actually, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I know the show wasn't, you know, so great, but whatever. We did our best, right, Josh?
We
did our best on the topic that we could. So I just wanted to thank
you. Well, unfortunately, I didn't know too much about it. So.
Yeah, right. Well, hey.
I was trying to learn last minute.
We'll teach someone. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to send, you know, some love out to Jeremy. I hope he feels better. And remember, you can find more about me at PozIM.com and Josh there. We're all members of the PozIM community. I'm going to head out with this song actually by a guy by the name of Prince Michael. And he actually wrote this song to spread awareness of HIV, and I found him on MySpace. And he actually allowed me to play his song on here. So I'm going to play it out. And you have a good night. And thanks a lot, Josh, for helping me out tonight. I'll see you on Tuesday. We'll be back on Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard.
Wednesday.
Why do I keep saying Tuesday? Oh, my God.
I don't know.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Figured I spit it like I actually have HIV. That way people will listen. 500,000 people just died from it, and awareness is what I stand for.
With that HIV, get tested, make sure you're not infected. With that HIV, wrap it up, don't be like me. Was in my rest, thinking about my health, when realized it's been a while since I checked myself. Lately I've been running up in everything wrong, from virgins to girls I meet the same day and day before. Gave my doctor a call, he scheduled me that same week I came in, so he could examine what I gave him. Week later he contact, left message to call back, said he got results and we need to talk about that. Now I'm scared, homie, busting massive sweat. Took a deep breath and called him back direct. Out of respect, phone rung twice, lady picked up, assumed it was his wife, your husband home. She said, hold on, then he came to the phone with the obvious, wasting no time, in a profound tone, told me I'm positive. Stood there, froze, heart beating fast, dropped the phone slow, doctor on the other end, screaming, hello.
With that HIV, get tested, make sure you're not infected. Been months now and everybody know I got it. I lost 50 pounds, through my skin you'll spot it. The virus done took over, my heart colder. Anorexic, arms touching, shoulder to shoulder. Feel like my life is over, nothing to live for. Can take any chick now and run right up in them raw. Cause if I got to go, believe they too gotta come along. But won't do cause I'm righteous and know that that's wrong. So I just lay and suffer while my family mourn. Friends happy cause they know soon I'll be dead and gone. Didn't even get a chance to create a firstborn. But I'm glad cause all I would do is leave their hearts on. I'm in and out of therapy, the way them doctors hurry me to put me on life support, cause there really ain't no cure for me. But though I know there's one, I just stack my fun, son, and take Kalitra like Magic Johnson. Johnson. With that HIV, get tested, make sure you're not infected. Wrap it up, don't be like me. This goes out to my young nation. Practice safe sex with no procrastination. Never fall victim to that needle situation. Injecting in your veins for that drug circulation. And if you in that mood for that sexual sensation, make sure you wrap up with no hesitation. Don't wanna be like me in the life that I'm facing. Every morning waking up to the discrimination. This goes out to my young nation. Practice safe sex with no procrastination. Don't wanna be like me in the life that I'm facing. Every morning waking up to the discrimination. With that HIV, get tested, make sure you're not infected. With that HIV, wrap it up, don't be like me. Yeah. Shout out to Elton John AIDS Foundation, Magic Johnson, Maria Davis,